You're listening to the Bitcoin.com podcast. Our guest today is Danelle Dixon, CEO at Stellar.
The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed by various guests or sponsors of the podcast are solely their own. They do not necessarily reflect those of the podcast host or the other people, entities, or organizations affiliated with the creation or production of the podcast. The guest and sponsor may consider their information reliable, but others involved in the creation or presentation of the podcast do not warrant the accuracy of guest or sponsor information, and it should not be relied upon.
This episode is brought to you by the Bitcoin.com exchange, the exchange you can trust. Buy and sell Bitcoin as well as 250 digital assets. The Bitcoin.com exchange is secure, fast, easy, and reliable. Register within seconds and buy crypto with a credit or debit card. Join our community of traders now. Exchange.bitcoin.com. I'm your host, Dustin Plantholt. Join us as we dive into the world of economics, politics, tech, Bitcoin, and cryptocurrency. For even more crypto-related news, sign up at news.bitcoin.com or follow us on Twitter at Bitcoin.com. Now let's bring on our guest. Danelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Such an honor to be here. Thanks, Dustin. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you again as well. And now, Danelle, you have a very interesting story. You're also the CEO of Stellar. And I might add that I've done a lot of interviews in my day, and there's not a lot of women, at least women in leadership that I see on the surface. It is a mostly male-dominated ecosystem. And so thus begs the question, why is that?
Oh, why is that is a lot about, I think, the numbers in technology for women are not nearly as strong as in other sectors anyway. And you get to blockchain, which is a component of that technology sector, and it's just much smaller there, historically dominated by men and continues to be, although I think we're making some inroads. So it's really nice to see that. I'd love to be able to bring, and I advocate for it. We talk a lot about the interesting work that we're doing in this space so that we can bring more women into this space. A lot of it is that it is, in my experience, I've been in technology most of my career, and technology, as I said, is also tends to be male dominated, but we have larger percentages in the technology side in terms of the gender split. From my experience in my life, when I was a lawyer, when I was a business person, when I was the COO of Mozilla, most of the people around the table were men. And so for me, it was not that different to come into this space given where I had been before. I will tell you the one thing that is different about blockchain is that it's a highly critical and engaged space, meaning that the audience tends to be critical and very engaged. So you really have to have that thick skin.
So talking about different cultures, you know, you and I got to talk offline that you have been at since I saw you at 18 people. Now you're what, I think 90 or so. That what has it been like to incorporate all these different cultures into the organization? How do you do this and how do you find the balance for it?
Oh, I think it's diversity and inclusion and making sure that we have lots of different groups represented in the organization and that we sort of reflect back the folks that we're trying to help out there and to bring technology to is just a really important core value of the Stellar Development Foundation and frankly of mine. I think that you can't just say, hey, we're going to focus on diversity, and then it happens. You actually have to make it happen. That means you have to be very inclusive as an organization to be able to make sure that in every meeting that you're not going to the same people time and time again for the same questions or for them to present. So you have to have inclusiveness in the way that you act as an organization. And that you're drawing out voices that you might normally choose to stay silent in a group, that you draw those voices out in a very inclusive way as well. And then from diversity standpoint, you have to really focus on having a diverse slate. It starts with making sure that you don't just hire friends and family all the time, that you actually focus on, no, we want to have like all people from all different perspectives and backgrounds come in so that we can meet with them and see what they can bring to our org. You have to be purposeful about it. Because if you're not, it's a lot easier just to, you know, have two people come and interview and you choose between the two.
You know, that's a great way of putting it. And I've been with you and Jed and the rest of the team. And what I see what you've been able to create is this idea think tank that you're allowing people, you know, they say that leaders don't create more followers, they create more leaders. that it sounds to me that that is what Stellar's aim is, that you are looking for people to rise in the organization and you're looking to grow the utility aspect. So let's go there. What is Stellar? Who is Stellar? What sort of problems does Stellar solve?
Yeah, that's a great question. I just want to say one thing about the leadership, then I'll get to Stellar. I believe what's important about my role in the organization, and frankly, all of the leaders in the organization, is that we are growing space for ideas, because as much as I want to think that I'm creative and I'm awesome on all these things, the truth is that the creativity comes from all these different backgrounds and experiences. And it's the very same thing that we're doing with Stellar, actually. Stellar is an open, decentralized network that is focused on cross-border payments. And we build the underlying technology along with our community. So we shepherd that code base for the technology stack. But the really interesting work, and I know that sounds like our work is interesting too, but the really interesting work in terms of the use cases is being built by all of these different folks out there in the ecosystem at large that are coming together to solve their regional problems, their local problems. That is the value of an open network, permissionless, that allows folks to build on it, whether you talk to the Stellar Development Foundation or not. I actually love it when I find out that entities are building on us without us having had worked with them. I'm happy to work with them as well. But I think it just shows the nature of this open source project that we're building.
That's amazing. You know, and I also look at your role as the CEO. And again, I'm going to go out on a guess here and assume that your first job in life was not as a CEO, your first paid position. I mean, look, we're all the CEOs of ourselves. But take me back, because there is this generation, they want something, right? And they don't realize what it's going to take to get there. That Danelle didn't just become CEO overnight, that this was a journey. So take me back. What was Danelle's first job?
My first job, it was in an Eric's Deli Cafe in Gilroy, California, which is where I was born, where I was raised. And I got a job as early as I could. It was one of the things my family encouraged me to do. So I was actually 14 when I started working. And I eventually worked there for 2 years and became like a manager, which I was so excited about. So I did that. And then I worked at law firms. I wanted to be a lawyer. And I worked at law firms for a long time after that. But my first job, and the thing that I think working in a deli like that, it teaches you about the importance of human contact and really engaging with humans and respecting everyone, even though you have very different ideas about maybe how something should be done. And that was what I think customer service is all about. So learning that early kind of helps you to get to a different place in life.
I love that, because one of my first jobs was landscaping, and customer service was the biggest thing. Make sure people have the experience. So the first big role that you took on, what was it?
Well, I mean, I was a trial lawyer for 9 years and I loved it. I represented clients from all different parts of the world and doing a lot of different, business side stuff. And it was just a fascinating space for me to be in. And then I really focused on technology. So I took that and then started working with my clients. I went in house and I worked as a lawyer at Yahoo. I had known them for a really long time. And then I went to work in private equity, and I worked for the founder of a private equity fund out of Europe. And that to me really got me to the place where I could, expand into business and learn more about business and financial institutions and how you can leverage those things. I went to Mozilla after that. But I think the important thing for me in my career, everybody always talks about the steps that you need to take to be able to get to the next thing. And I never looked at my career that way. It was never linear. I always did things. I will be honest and tell you that almost in every role, I took a cut in pay in the next job that I got, because I was afraid that if I got too comfortable in a role that I would never leave. And so I always wanted to learn and to push myself. And so for me, it was completely not linear. I did a variety of different things that people wouldn't have expected. Some people thought it was crazy. But for me, it's been such a journey. Like, I have loved every single thing that I have done. And that's been one of the requirements. I have 3 boys and I was a single mom for a really long time. And for me, having to leave my children to go to work, I needed to love what I did so that I could support them, but also be happy with the space that I was in. And so I always challenged myself intellectually and emotionally sometimes at work. And that was important to me.
So how has this been for you? We just had Chef Lydia on, who is also the working mom of working moms. What's it been like for you, being that I'm sure that COVID has created new levels of confusion and craziness? And how do you find a way to be this balance? Because most people out there don't know that you're a working mom. They only know you as a CEO, and they wouldn't know you any other way. So how do you balance this? And do you give yourself permission when you need to be the mom, you're the mom?
Yeah, no, I think, well, first of all, for me, I've been lucky enough with my boys to, I've learned so much from my boys. And I just have to say right now in my life, I was lucky enough to find a partner who has two boys. So we have five boys at our house. We've been home together. All of our two older boys are in college, but they're home with us. We've been home for the last year. We just celebrated our anniversary of all being cooped up in our house. And, you know, I think that I've learned so much about how to relate to people through the children that we have and how, and our relationship with them. So I am definitely a mom first, and that is my most important role, which has taught me how to do lots of different roles that I've had in my life. And, so I've been lucky enough to be able to balance it, which is not easy to do. And so I'm grateful for the support that I get to be able to do that.
That's an amazing and very humble way of saying it. So what are working moms right now experiencing? What are women experiencing, not just in the crypto ecosystem, but in general? What are they going through in this new world?
It's very frustrating to me because if you think, I can't remember the statistic, but it's a really high percentage of folks that left the workforce this year were women. I knew it last week and I wish I could tell you now, but I want to say it was in the 40% category of folks that left the workforce were women, and they did so because they felt like they needed to during COVID to support their family, to really be there for their kids. And that's a really hard decision to make for someone who wants to have a career outside of the home, because I will tell you that actually having a career outside of the home is sometimes far easier than having a career inside the home. So women in this, especially during COVID, have taken the burden of having, you know, I did this when we first went into lockdown. I made breakfast, lunch, and dinner for all of our boys and for my partner. During this time, every day I would say, okay, I would block my times. I'd start breakfast at 7, I'd start lunch at noon, and then I would have dinner ready by 7:30. And eventually I was like, this is insane. I can't do this and do my job. So I need to figure out where to scale back. But we put a lot of pressure on ourselves when we're, especially with the kids around us. Like we have a fifth grader, and I had to really work with him on what he needed to do for homeschooling and to get there. So thankfully, I have a partner who can actually help me balance some of that, but not everyone does. And I think that this is the perspective that I have had for my whole life, even when I was a single mom, and I was a single mom for about 9 years. It was the hardest thing I ever did. And yet I was so lucky that I had financial ability to get support for myself. Not everyone does. And so we need to look at our life through the lens of everyone and recognize that everyone needs this kind of support, and that we need to do our part to sort of help folks to get there.
That's an incredible message. You know, when I met you and I met Jed, and I think I asked you something like, why would you quit Mozilla to do this? and you told me the story about how Jed approached you. And basically what you said to him was, this next chapter of my life, it's going to be one that changes the world. And what I've heard today, and what I know the listeners have, is that you are making an impact. You're making an impact that is not just in the ecosystem. It is to working moms everywhere. That I can tell you this straight face and say, working moms are very tough. They don't quit. They don't throw in the towel. And they are the CEOs that walk among us. They are those that are leading the crypto ecosystem. So tell us more. How do we find out more about Stellar? How do we get to know more about your story? Take us there.
Yeah. So, you know, I came to Stellar. It's been almost 2 years since I've been at the Stellar Development Foundation. The amount that we have grown as an organization has been remarkable. I think you mentioned when I first started, it was, I think, 18 folks, and we're now at almost 90. And we've focused on, I think it's 89, we focused on growing to support this growing ecosystem. And what we are all about is that cross-border nature. So if you think about what our target is if a family, think about you have a family here in the United States, but they have loved ones back in Mexico, for example, and they want to make sure that they can send money to them in Mexico. You want to be able to do that in 3 to 5 seconds without all the fees attached to it. That is what Stellar allows you to do. We have open corridors right now that are very strong between Nigeria and Europe, where we actually have businesses that are using the blockchain to send money to different businesses in Europe so they can make those payments more quickly and more efficiently. So the thing that I like to always say, and you know, we've talked about blockchain as being this promise. It's actually now. It's not the promise. We're actually seeing these things happen today. We're seeing them happen on Stellar. We're seeing them happen on other chains as well, by the way. And the notion of what blockchain can do, particularly for us in the cross-border payment space, is remarkable. And what blockchain's already doing is remarkable. And it's enhancing this infrastructure that we've known about for years and years and years and had to work within, which is using these financial tools that are available to us, but that aren't really awesome when you're thinking about the cross-border nature. It takes you, just think about if you have a bank account at Wells Fargo and you have a bank account at Bank of America, when you're shifting and you're sending money from Wells Fargo to Bank of America, it takes sometimes like 5 days to get there, which makes no sense, by the way, because the rails are all electronic anyway. But if you use blockchain, you can not only have a record in 3 seconds, it's immutable, it's not changeable, so it's done. And so this is what we're utilizing for cross-border payments and that focal point for us. And mostly the target for us is thinking about all these people all over that are unbanked or underbanked. So they don't have those banks that they can walk out to just to go get down the street. They could be hundreds of miles away. And instead, now they get to use their wallet, which is on their phone, and they can make things happen quickly. They can hold their assets. They can shift their assets. They can, you know, convert their assets. They can do all of these things right from their mobile device. So I think that what Stellar does, and so I'll get to the gender part too, is it actually allows those women in other parts of the world that don't have the same financial tools as some might here to be able to increase the value that they're bringing to not just their families and their local regions, but to the GDP of that country. Because we do know, based on research, that as you give women the tools to increase the ability for them to share in this financial ecosystem, they actually increase the GDP for the country that they live in. So this isn't rocket science. This is actually super simple. So what we're building is focused on businesses, humans, and just the nature of how we can transact to make these borders feel a little bit more borderless, if we can.
Crypto community, you heard it from Danelle Dixon herself, that she is leading the charge, that Stellar is leading the charge to change the world one heart at a time. Danelle, thank you again for sharing your story.
Pleasure, Dustin. Thanks so much for having me.
The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed by various guests or sponsors of the podcast are solely their own. They do not necessarily reflect those of the podcast host or the other people, entities, or organizations affiliated with the creation or production of the podcast. The guest and sponsor may consider their information reliable, but others involved in the creation or presentation of the podcast do not warrant the accuracy of guest or sponsor information, and it should not be relied upon.
You've listened to another episode of the Bitcoin.com podcast. Subscribe at news.bitcoin.com, where your journey begins.